Good evening. We'll go ahead and get started tonight. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Just thankful for the opportunity that we have to be together in a few minutes just to find some refuge from everything that's going on around us and dig into God's Word and let His Word speak to our hearts tonight. If you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter number 6, that's where we'll be reading that tonight and covering some scripture and covering a couple of different events that happen in John chapter number 6. And I do ask you to be much in prayer as we get into the Bible study tonight. And for the ones of you that are here in the sanctuary, it's good to see you tonight. It's always wonderful to be in God's house with you. I'm sure that some of you have had some hot, tiring days just like I have, and it's good to be in here with air conditioning blowing and just a few minutes just to dig into God's Word. And for those of you that are watching us on Facebook tonight, I'm thankful again for the technology that we have to be able to do this. I hope that somewhere in your heart there's a desire to be in God's house, and when all of this mess is over or solved or whatever happens in this, I'm looking forward for us all to be back in God's house together to see the whole family. It's been kind of like having the family together with some missing over the past few weeks, and I really miss seeing some of you, and we'll be glad when we get back in God's house together. Again, John chapter number 6 tonight, before we go to the Lord in word of prayer, for those of you who are watching on Facebook Live, feel free to leave prayer requests there in the comment section, or if you want to send a message there on our Facebook page. Again, I got some great people in our digital media team that'll be sure that I see those, and we will be praying for your prayer requests. I know we got some special requests in our church, and we won't go through those now, but as we end the service tonight and after we leave our live post tonight, we will be sharing some prayer requests together here in the sanctuary and be praying for those. But we do have some special situations in our church that God knows all about, and we will continue to pray for those and ask God to move in a special way. But again, you're welcome to leave a prayer request, or maybe you even have a praise that you want to leave there in the comment section. Feel free to do that. Thank you for being with us tonight. And if you will, at this time, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask Him to bless our time together tonight in His Word. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. I thank You for the opportunity that we have to be together tonight, for this time that we have to share Your Word and to just pause for a moment throughout our week, God, and I hope that we're spending some time alone with You throughout the week, reading our Bibles and praying. But God, it is a special time to come here in the sanctuary, to come here at our place of refuge, and just let everything else go for a few minutes and dig into Your Word and let Your Word speak to our hearts. God, I pray that while we're here tonight that You will meet here with us, that You will take Your Word, God, and just allow it just to speak to us and change our lives, God, and to lift us up. God, sometimes it needs to convict us, and I pray that You'll just allow Your Word to do all those things in our hearts and in our lives. And God, I do pray for the prayer requests, God, for the ones that are being left on our Facebook feed right now. I'm glad to know that You know those, and the ones that are on our hearts, God, You know each and every one of those, and we ask You just to touch in an amazing way. God, we know that You can handle each and every one. God, sometimes we don't even know how to ask for You to touch in those things, but God, we just ask You to do what's best and give us the faith to trust You in each and every one of those situations. God, I ask as we get into the lesson tonight that You'll just move on it. God, help us to always live lives that gives You glory and points others to the cross. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. John chapter number 6. We're going to begin reading at the end of the chapter here in just a few minutes, but in order for that to happen, we got to cover some ground. And before we begin covering some ground, if you're watching on Facebook tonight, go ahead and share this post, because we're going to get into some scripture here in just a few minutes that is some awesome scripture, some of my favorite scripture, and I'm not saying that it's going to be an awesome delivery of the message tonight, but God's Word is always awesome, but I believe there's some scripture in here tonight that we're going to cover that is going to be really good, and the scripture's really good no matter what, but pray for the delivery of it so that maybe I can deliver it with the excitement that God gave it to me. And then also, I just think it's just something wonderful to look at. But as we get into John chapter number 6 tonight, if you go back in John chapter number 6, you'll find that Jesus has a lot of followers. That all of a sudden, Jesus, he's going from place to place, and he's doing miracles, and people are just following him everywhere that he goes. Whatever, and you know what? This is the way that our life should be. We should be willing to follow Jesus wherever he goes and whichever direction that he wants to take us. Sometimes I like to argue with God and not follow where I should go, but each and every time that happens, it doesn't take me very long to realize that I have looked the wrong direction and I need to get back in line with God and follow where he wants me to go. But you'll find that there's a lot of people following Jesus as he's going from place to place and he's doing miracles. But the thing of it is, as you go back into John chapter number 6 and verse number 2, you find why people are following Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter number 6 and verse number 2, the great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So in John chapter number 6, verse number 2, the Bible tells us that people are following Jesus because of the miracles that they had saw him do. And there were many miracles that Jesus did, and I'm sure that it was an awesome sight to be there present when Jesus was doing these miracles. Some of you have experienced miracles in your life, in your loved one's life, and maybe someone that you went to church with, maybe someone that you knew that the doctors had said one thing about their lives, and God done a miracle, and it was amazing to be a part of that and to see that. And I can understand why these people are following Jesus because of the great miracles that he was doing. But things were exciting, and there was a buzz around Jesus because he was doing these miracles. So people were following him. But then as you go on and you continue to see, they followed him one day, and we even see another miracle in John chapter number 6 as Jesus feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And it is amazing, and you know the story. This is not the point of the message tonight, but as you look at when Jesus was there and there was 5,000 and everybody else was saying, what in the world are we going to do? All these people are hungry. How in the world are we going to feed them? And Jesus, the disciples come to Jesus and says, well, there's a lad with 5 barley loaves and a couple of fish. And Jesus says, bring them here. I'm thankful that that little boy was willing to give everything that he had to Jesus and let him take and work with those barley loaves and those 2 fish. And as those are distributed, and the Bible tells us that there was 5,000 men, and these 5,000 men were fed. And at the end of that, there was 12 basketfuls taken up after that everybody was fed with those 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the people are willing to follow because they're seeing such amazing things that Jesus is doing. And as he continues on to his ministry, they begin to follow him. As you continue to read in John chapter number 6, you'll see that he sent the disciples across the water. And he went walking to the disciples on the water. And what an amazing event, again, that it would be in to see Jesus come walking on the water. But the people were searching for him so much that they were going to the shores to see where the disciples were, to see where Jesus may be. I mean, they were seeking him out. They were searching for him. That's the way we should be in our lives. We should be searching for Jesus. And you say, well, I found Jesus when I was 7 years old. Yes, I did too. But there's been times that I've taken my eyes off of him and I had to refocus and say, okay, God, what do you want for my life right now? I want to seek after you. I want to search after you. I want to know your ways and I want to walk in your ways. And that's the way that the people were when all of these wonderful things were happening around them. But then something else happens. Jesus is out teaching to all of these people one day and he looks at them and he says, I want you to know that I am the bread of life. And man, he says, I am the bread of life that was sent from heaven. And the Jews, all of a sudden, they found mistake in that. They disagreed with that. They were saying, oh, wait, this guy's saying that he's the Messiah. All of a sudden, they're looking at him, and man, they've been following him while all of these miracles were taking place and while all these amazing things were happening. And then all of a sudden, he says something that they disagree with, and they begin to get upset. They begin to say, I cannot believe that he said that. He says something that rubs them the wrong way when he says, I am the bread of life. And he begins to teach them about who he is and how they can have a relationship with him. And that brings us to verse number 60 of chapter number 6. In verse number 60 of chapter number 6, I want you to notice what happens. The Bible says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? You know, I'm afraid that we're living in a day and a time that mirrors this attitude that's going on in John chapter number 6. We're living a day and a time that mirrors this, that in so much that people, when things are going good and when God is good and when things are going good in their life, man, they're all in. They want to follow Jesus. They want to go with God and God's wonderful. But then when something rubs them the wrong way, they go, wait a minute. This is a hard saying. I can't do this. I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to go in that direction. And they begin to be rubbed the wrong way. I remember hearing a story as my dad was preaching and going from church to church. And, you know, it seems like every preacher has a little joke that they like to tell before they get up and preach. And I am a failure at telling jokes. Most of the time when I tell jokes from the pulpit, y'all all look at me like I'm dumb. So I've tried to learn to stop telling jokes. We'll laugh at me and go on. I'm not a good joke teller. But I remember as a preacher was talking one night, and he was telling of how that he went to preach at a new church, and he got up and he preached a message, and man, everybody just loved it. He preached on the love of God, and everybody just loved it. He got up the next Sunday and he preached about the blood, and man, everybody just loved it. He got up the next Sunday and he preached on sin, and one of the deacons come out that Sunday and shook his hand, and he says, "I want you to know something, preacher. You have rubbed the cat the wrong way." And as he looked at him that day, as they come out the door, and the deacon told him that, he said, "Well, I tell you what you need to do. You need to turn the cat around." And that's the truth to the matter. When the Bible rubs you the wrong way, let me tell you who's wrong. It's not the Bible. It's us. And as we look here in John chapter number 6, and these people are so excited about all of these miracles, about Jesus healing the lame, about Jesus healing the sick, and then as he goes out and he feeds the 5,000 with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish, man, they're excited. They're seeking him. They're going out to the seashore to try to find him early in the morning, late at night. They want to find. But then all of a sudden he says something that they consider a hard saying, and they begin to back off. And they begin to say, "Oh my. Well, you know what? I won't be doing my job as a preacher, as a pastor, or even as a Christian if I soften the Word of God to meet all of our little expectations. If we soften the Word of God so that we can compromise to everybody's little feelings and everybody's..." Let me tell you something. There's going to be people who are offended by the Word of God. You go right here, and Jesus even uses the word offend. He says, "Does this offend you?" Well, if you're offended by the Word of God, there is something that we need to change in our lives. Don't go to try to change in the Word of God. There's something that we need to change in our lives. But in verse 60, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And then as you continue, and Jesus continues to teach them, let's go to verse number 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Now, what do you mean? Now, this is not talking about the 12. But it's talking about the other people that have been following Jesus. And they've been watching him do these miracles. And I'm sure it's been the talk of the town. They've been going here and there and telling each other, "Man, you should have seen what Jesus did. Man, you should have seen what happened over here. This guy that was blind, he touched him. Now he can see. This guy that was lame, he touched him. He got up and walked. You should have seen all these." I mean, they were excited. Man, life was wonderful. Everything was just perfect. And then all of a sudden, when Jesus says something that they don't agree with it, you find in verse number 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I'm afraid that that is happening in our churches today. And I'm talking about our Bible-believing churches who preach the Word of God, who stand on the Word of God. I'm not talking about someone that wants to carry around a prosperity gospel. You know, I've been listening to some different things and some different podcasts here in the last few days, and I hear a lot of prosperity gospel in what I'm listening to, and sometimes it's good and uplifting. Sometimes it's something that you hear and you're like, "Man, that's good. I'm glad that that's in the Bible." But you know what? We need these hard sayings. For us to be able to walk where God wants us to walk, we need the hard sayings of the book, not just all of that prosperity stuff. Because when you look back at the disciples, and maybe we'll study it one day, and you look back at the lives that the disciples lived, it wasn't all prosperous. It wasn't all, well, how, go back and look how they were martyred. Go back and look how they ended up ending their lives, and not all of it was prosperity and prosperous gospel. But because it wasn't, here in verse number 66, because Jesus said something that the people didn't like, because he rubbed the cat the wrong way, because it offended them, the Bible tells us from that time, many went back. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Let me just go ahead and make a comment right here. I've come too far to look back. I've come too far. God's been so good to me, and God's done way too much for me to look back. There is nothing to look back to. Let's continue reading. Then Jesus looked at his disciples. He looks at the 12. After he says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" I like the scripture, and we're going to continue reading here in just a few minutes. But before we do, I want us to talk about something. Because I want us to cover how good God is. And I can't do it in just a few minutes. I can't do it. If I had all the time in the world, I wouldn't be able to cover how good God is. But before we continue reading, as we look at verse number 66 and verse number 67, as many of the disciples went back, and then he looks at the 12 and says, "Will you also go away?" We got to pause for just a minute. We got to pause and look one thing about our God. Let's pause for just a minute and see what a wonderful God we serve. First of all, I can't help but think about scripture that says, "No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I cannot believe that Jesus Christ was willing to come and give his life for mine. I can't believe that he saw anything about me worthy to be one of his children. I can't believe that he looks at me and he says, "You know what, I'm going to give my life. You're so guilty of sin and you're so guilty of failure and fault, but yet I love you so much that I'm going to lay my life down for yours." That's what kind of God we serve. We serve a God that is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, me and my brother, we wasn't very close growing up. He's 4.5 years older than me. I was a little bit of a tattletale, got him in trouble a few times. I was one of those kids that would run and do something to my brother to get him to come after me. And then you know what I did? Run through the house going, "Daddy, Travis is trying to kill me." That's what I did. Me and my brother wasn't very close. We were 4.5 years old, but now we're very close. And no, we don't talk on the phone every day. He's not a high-maintenance brother, and neither am I. I don't text him every day, but I'll tell you right now, I believe either one of us would fight a grizzly bear for the other. I love my brother, but the Bible tells me here that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that he's going to be there for me no matter what. Never leave me. Never forsake me. This is the kind of God that we serve. So as Jesus is looking at his disciples, and he says, "Will you also go away?" I want you to look. They say to him, then Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" But as they said that, they could have said any of these reasons. They could have said, "Lord, we're not going to go anywhere else because no greater love hath anybody than you, that you would lay your life down for us." They could have said, "Lord, we won't go anywhere else because you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that you said that you would never leave me or you would never forsake me because you hear and answer my prayers." I feel like I need to cover these things because all of these things are so true about our God. He knows my needs before I ask, and he said that he's going to supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. He's my rock, my fortress, my high tower. He's the great physician and can take care of any need that I have, physical, emotional, spiritual. God can take care of those needs. He picked me up out of a miry pit, set my feet on a rock, and established my goings. His mercy and his grace endures forever. He has gone to prepare a place for me. All of those things are wonderful reasons that when Jesus looked at his disciples, or when Jesus looks at us and says, "Will you also go away?" that any of us should be able to look at him and say, "God, I'll never go away. I won't go away because you stick closer than a brother. I'll not go away because you've gone to prepare a place for me. I'll not go away because your mercy and your grace endures forever. I'll not go away because you're my rock, my high tower, and my fortress." We should be able to use any of those reasons. But I want us to look real close at what the reason was that Simon Peter gave. This is the awesome part of the scripture tonight. Then Simon Peter answered him, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." You know, there's a lot of reasons that I can give that God is awesome. There's a lot of reasons that I can give that I would follow God. But I can't think of anyone that's greater than this one. "For thou hast the words of eternal life." Verse 69, "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." As we look at those verses tonight, this is what ties it together for me. If God decided, and I'm glad that I know God's not going to do this, but if God decided to quit hearing and answering my prayers, if God decided not to protect me any longer, if God decided not to be that friend that sticks closer than a brother, if God decided that he was going to turn his back on a physical, spiritual, or emotional need that I have, you know, that's not the reasons that I should be following him anyway. That's not the reasons that I should be serving him anyway. All of those things are like icing on the cake. They're like a little better. They're a little more reason to follow God, but the reason that I should follow God is just because He is God. He has the words of eternal life, that tonight, because of Him, because of His love that He has for me, that I don't have to die and go to a devil's hell, because that is truly what I deserve. That is truly tonight, that my works can never add up to anything worth going to heaven. My actions can never compare to the actions that Jesus Christ has. The things that I do here on this earth, it can never be legitimately explained away that I would deserve to spend eternity in heaven with God. But I'm glad tonight because of the words of eternal life, because Jesus said that if I would confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that I could be saved. That is the reason tonight that I will follow God. That is the reason tonight that we should all, you know, I know that we're living in some uncertain times. We're living in times that we don't know what's going to happen. You know, they want to talk about this being the new normal or whatever. I don't want this to be the new normal, but I'll tell you what, no matter what happens and no matter what we can expect or we don't know what to expect, here's one thing you can expect, that God's word is absolutely true, and the fact that He told you that if you would accept Him as your Savior, that you could have eternal life, that will never ever change. And that's why we should follow Him. That's why we can say, Lord, I'll never go away. Even when the going gets tough, even when the hard sayings rub the cat the wrong way, even when there's times in my life that, God, I don't know what You're doing. I don't know why I'm having physical issues. I don't know why I'm having emotional issues. God, I don't know why all of these things are going on around us, and I don't understand. I don't know why I'm having financial issues, whatever the case is, that God said, or that the disciples looked at Him and said, we will follow You because Thou hast the words of eternal life. All of those reasons that we talked about before were great, but none compared to saying, God, there's no one else that can save my soul from hell. God, there's no one else that can give me eternal life. God, there's no one else that can give me a home in heaven. Those are the reasons that I say I will not go away. Sometimes living the Christian life is tough, isn't it? Sometimes trying to live right and do right, it's a lot tougher than just melting in with everybody else. It's a lot tougher than just saying, you know what, I can just sort of phase in with everybody else. You know, God save me, and I can just kind of go my little way, and everything's going to be okay. I want you to know tonight, and this is, I can back it up with Scripture. I was going to say this is my opinion, but it's not my opinion. If we're comfortable with just melting in with the world and just living like the world and everything else, you have a spiritual problem. I don't know how deep that spiritual problem is. It could be as far as you have been given a counterfeit by Satan and you're not saved if you're just comfortable living like this world. Amen. And if you're living in that way and you're just comfortable with that, you're just like these that said, I'll go back. In verse number 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? I'm going to ad-lib just a little bit here. I'm not changing God's word. I just want to ad-lib just a little bit here. Lord, to whom shall we go? For there's nobody else that has the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there's nobody else that we believe that is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those are the two things. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is no one else that can lay claim to that. There is nothing else that can lay claim to giving you eternal life. There is nothing else that can say, if you do this, you can live forever. We all know that our physical bodies are going to die. I see mine aging. I see some of yours aging. I'm letting my beard grow out just a little bit. My wife is not crazy about my beard growing out. She's ready for me to start trimming it. But I kind of like my beard. I don't know how long it'll go. I guess you'll see Sunday who wins, but it'll be shaved. I'll just go ahead and tell you. But I kind of like my beard. But when I look in the mirror at my beard, you know what I see? It's a big old gray patch right here in the front. Now, I'm just 38. I shouldn't have that. I'm thinking about getting me some blackout. But no, I'm not really. Lord, I come in here, my hair all black, my beard all black. Maybe I'll raise my salary. We'll go with that. But no, I look in the mirror and I can even see myself aging. I can see things happening. I'm getting, my daughter told me the other day that she said, Daddy, you got the dad bod, but it looks good. I just want you to know. And I'm, yeah, thank you, honey. I got the dad bod. That's not what everybody's looking for. But I can feel myself aging. We can all look in the mirror and we see ourselves aging, and we know that our physical lives are going to end at some time or the other. But I'm thankful tonight that spiritually, I'm just as young as I ever was, and I'm just as old as I'm ever going to be, because I have eternal life. Jesus saved my soul at the age of 7, and my soul will never, ever die. It's going to be in His presence one day, and I'm going to live forever. It says, you have the words of eternal life, and we believe, and I like this part, and we are sure, not we have a question about it, not we doubt it, not maybe, not you might be, but they said, and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why I want to follow Christ. I'm sure, just as sure as I'm sitting here tonight, just as, you know, a lot of the things nowadays, scientifically, they want to prove this and disprove that, and man, oh man, what they spend their waste their time and their money doing. But just as sure as I'm standing here tonight, I am sure that there is one living God. I am sure that His Son come and gave His life for me. And I am sure that I have a relationship with Him and that His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. You can't talk me out of it. I don't care if you want to go scientifically and try to disprove it. If you want to tell me how foolish I am, I want to tell you something. And if I'm foolish for believing that, let me be foolish, because I am so thrilled to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd rather be foolish and have a relationship with Jesus Christ than be the smartest man on earth and die and spend eternity in hell. His disciples said, there is no one else. Where are we going to go? I was talking with a friend just this week, and kind of what led me to this scripture. My friend's going through a tough time. He said, I just don't know how much more I can take. I don't know if this life is even worth living. And you know what? When we look at eternity and how wonderful eternity is going to be, sometimes this life may not be worth living, but we need to leave that in God's hands. We don't ever need to take it into our hands. God knows what time is right, and He's got all the right answers for that, and we just have to put our faith and trust in that. And he said, I just don't know if I can do it any longer. I don't know if I can live this life any longer. And I just sent him a text, and I said, but it reminds me, where are you going to go? What do you think is better than walking with Jesus Christ? What do you think is better than living a life with God? I tell you what, the devil is really good at painting a pretty picture. He's really good at saying, hey, look over here and look over there. And he's really good at just putting things out there to make you think that must be better. There is nothing better than living a life with Jesus Christ. You know, there may be a time in my life that you have to come pick me on the shoulder and say, hey, do you remember that Wednesday night when you were teaching and you said there is nothing better than living a life with Jesus Christ? Where are you at now? Because this world will throw some bad tricks at you sometimes, won't it? It'll throw some bad stumbling blocks in front of you. But I hope and pray that through my life, that I don't just search for God when all the miracles are happening and everything's good. But I hope and pray that if things turn ugly in my life, if things turn down in my life, that I'll still say, but Lord, to whom shall I go? There's nowhere else to go other than Jesus Christ, other than God. Man, what wonderful scripture that God give us here in His Word, that even though that things might have been hard, the sayings may have been hard, they may not have understood what was going on, there's still nowhere to turn other than Jesus Christ. Now, for you that's been here and you've been saved for a while, probably at some time during your life, you've looked a different direction. Even after you were saved. Maybe not all of you, but sometime during your life, even when you were saved, there's been a time when you slipped away from God, or when I slipped away from God and looked in a different direction. There's been a time when maybe we thought that this over here would be a little better. This would be a little easier, but there is nothing, absolutely nothing, like being in perfect fellowship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. You've been there too, and you know what it's like. And that's the way I want to be, is like the disciples. Lord, to whom shall I go? There's nowhere else. There's nothing else. You are the Christ. You have the words of eternal life. God, help me to have that in my heart no matter what's going on in my life. You know, church tonight, as we're here and we're talking for just a few minutes, realize that there are a lot of Christian people who are hurting. There are a lot of Christian people who are in a place right now, they're trying to make a decision whether there is somewhere else to turn or not. You know, just because life may be good at your house, don't mean that everything's wonderful at theirs. And sometimes the thing may flip on you, and it may be at your house that things are not so good. That's the reason we need to encourage each other. If you see me slip, you see me slipping out, you see me falling, see me discouraged, pick me up. Maybe sometime down the road I can return the favor. But if we all bind together and become the church that God wants us to be, and I'm not talking about fellowship, I'm talking about the church. The church has been silent too long. The church has been sitting back resting too long. There's a lost and a dying world. People are going to die and go to hell if the church don't get busy doing what we're supposed to be doing and sharing that there is nowhere else. There is no one else other than Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know even as I teach tonight that there have been so many times that I have failed you in my life. And God, there's times when I let just distractions come into my life, excuse me, to where I'm not paying attention to the others around me, to where there may be someone struggling, there may be someone going through something, where they may be looking elsewhere, where they may be looking to see if there is something else. But God, we know there is no one else, that you are the Christ, that you have the words of eternal life. And God, help us to encourage each other, to admonish one another. God, help us that sometimes we may even have to just pick each other up and put each other back on the right way with your help, God, that we may seek you and we may search for you even when things are not good. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll bless this church. I know that we're a part of the church, but God, I pray that you'll help us here at Fellowship. Give us a desire for lost souls. Give us the enthusiasm that we need to go out and tell others about Jesus. Give us the burning desire that maybe we had at one time in our young Christian lives, that we didn't want to see anybody slip out into eternity without Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you'll help us to be strong, help us to never compromise the word, help us to be in a place that when sinners do come into this sanctuary, that the power of God is felt and their lives and their eternity can be changed. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.